Arrest ends Pennsylvania manhunt.
I'm just glad it's all finished. We lived in fear.
Deadly Wichita plane crash probe.
The building simply is just not safe to go into right now.
Cleveland homecoming spoiled.
I think LeBron was so keyed up, he did not have his game.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. 7 weeks after two Pennsylvania state troopers were ambushed, the man accused in the attack that left one of them dead is now in custody. The long and dangerous manhunt in the woods over.
I can't even explain what I'm feeling right now. This is awesome.
Residents in the area in northeastern Pennsylvania are relieved. State Police Commissioner Frank Noonan says 31-year-old Eric Freen was found near an abandoned airplane hangar.
They ordered him to surrender, to get down on his knees and raise his hands, which is what he did.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett.
He was placed under arrest and handcuffed with the handcuffs of Corporal Dixon.
Brian Dixon was the trooper killed in the September 12th ambush. Local DA Ray Tonkin is now thinking trial and punishment for a man who was open about his anti-law enforcement views.
It is my intention to file notice to seek the death penalty for Eric Freen in this case.
Officials who had canceled Halloween activities in the area because of the manhunt are now scrambling to put things back together. Investigators in Wichita are on the hunt for answers in the crash of a small plane into a flight safety building yesterday at the city's airport that killed four people. CBS's Steve Futterman is in Wichita.
There are four bodies inside the building still unrecovered. One of those, the pilot. The three others are victims who were inside the building when the crash occurred. The pilot reported engine problems shortly after takeoff, and the plane slammed into the building.
Former NTSB chief Mark Rosenker is a CBS News aviation analyst.
There are a number of things that could cause an engine failure like that. That's why, as part of the investigative team, Pratt & Whitney, the engine manufacturer, they'll be working very closely with the investigators and helping in the teardown of the engine.
The National Guard is now helping with security in Pahoa, Hawaii, the village threatened by the red-hot lava flow from the Kilauea volcano. It's slowed down now, but is only about 100 feet from the nearest home. Janet Babb of the U.S. Geological Survey.
It could shut down in days, or it could continue for weeks, months, years. It's hard to say at this point.
In Maine, defiant Ebola nurse Casey Hickox challenged state officials who want her to stay home by taking a bike ride yesterday, but she had pizza delivered and didn't go out for that. Her boyfriend Ted Wilbur says she's feeling fine.
We don't believe that we can get anyone sick, and we are not trying to put anyone at risk.
Governor Paul LePage wants the courts to give the state power to enforce a quarantine, and an effort to reach an agreement with her, he says, has failed.
She's pushing my patience. Two or three times she'd accept something, then she'd backtrack.
A New Orleans conference on Ebola this weekend has asked people who've been in West Africa or have had contact with patients not to attend. The headline on a just-released government report is startling. Medicare bought medicine for dead people. CBS's Peter Mayer joins us live from the White House.
And just as startling, Steve, is a line from an Inspector General's report that says drugs for deceased beneficiaries are clearly not medically indicated. The Health and Human Services report found an inexplicable provision allowing payment for prescriptions filed more than a month after a patient's death. Medicare says it's working to end this policy, and Steve, in the cases that were investigated, it was unclear what happened to the meds that were approved for dead people.
4 days till midterm election day, CBS's Barry Pagnano continues his series for us in Colorado now, where the Latino vote could be more important than ever.
Working off an iPhone address list, Rudy Garcia treks through Denver's Barnum neighborhood for hours, urging Latinos not to ignore the election.
I just came to leave you reminded to vote. You want me to leave it on the door?
A record 25 million Latinos nationwide are eligible voters, but their traditional boost for Democrats could be limited. Their percentages are small in many states with close races, and President Obama sapped motivation, delaying immigration reform.
There are people who are disenchanted, angry,
admits Carla Castedo of La Familia Vota.
In Colorado, 60% of Latinos voters know someone in their family or a close friend who's undocumented.
Here, one out of seven voters is Hispanic, so courting this block is crucial.
Como ustedes, yo también quiero soluciones para nuestros grandes problemas.
This Jeb Bush ad backs Republican Cory Gardner in a tight U.S. Senate race. Former Congressman Tom Tancredo, a fiery proponent of immigration limits, sees Latinos shifting toward the GOP.
They vote for the same reason anybody else votes. Right now, everybody's pissed off at the president, and they are too.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Denver.
I'm Dave Barrett. There have been voter pitches
that the whole Republican vote gets to the
polls, we can win.
From John Wayne to Little John, pushing you to do your civic duty. Now the pressure's on. In Oregon, an app, DidTheyVote.org, lets you check Facebook friends against state records to see if they have voted. Today's New York Post says Democrats have sent out intimidating letters saying they'll be reviewing their records to determine if you did go to the polls on Tuesday, and if not, Democrats will be interested to hear why not.
A Missouri parachutist tripped to the ground after a leap from a broadcast tower took a lot longer than he ever thought it would.
Neighbors applauded as the man touched ground after almost 2.5 hours stuck 155 feet up. His chute and lines jumbled up in a guy wire for the tower.
He leaped from the tower, and then when he deployed his chute, obviously he couldn't see the guide wire and went into it.
And then, says Fire Chief Brian Hendricks,
he was pretty stuck.
Stuck until he was given a harness and then had to slash his own parachute wires. The chief says he appeared unharmed. Michael Calhoun, CBS News, St. Louis.
The much-anticipated LeBron James NBA homecoming in Cleveland started festive but ended on a sour note. The Cavaliers lost to the New York Knicks 95-90. Fans left the arena last night scratching their heads.
It was odd. He seemed a little passive. Maybe he was nervous. I don't know.
A little bit sloppy. Had 8 turnovers, but otherwise, I think he'll come around and he'll do really well.
James finished with 15 points in the loss.
It was a huge night. It was exciting for the fans, exciting for the city, but, you know, now we could just play regular basketball, man, and, you know, it was a great turnout.
The AAA says today for the first time in 4 years, the average price of a gallon of regular gas has hit $3 a gallon. Prices fell 33 cents a gallon this month alone. It's Halloween, a day for candy, costumes, and in some cases, concern. Here's CBS's Pam Coulter.
Halloween's often scarier for parents than their kids. Fears about accidents, strangers, and tainted candy have many communities swapping going door-to-door for school parties, trick-or-treating at shopping malls, or parking lot trunk-and-treat events. Denver police are warning about the possibility of pot-infused candy this year, but University of Delaware sociologist Joel Best isn't concerned.
I can't find a single instance of a child who's killed or seriously injured by a treat received in the course of trick-or-treating.
Pam Coulter, CBS News.
The world's largest retailer has its own holiday plans. Looking ahead, Walmart says it's going to offer free shipping on the season's top 100 gifts and price rollbacks on more than 20,000 items, everything from TVs to groceries. That's the World News Roundup, produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.